Welcome to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself with your host, Leo Flowers. I am Leo Flowers. Today we're going to cover the link between cross-country running and suicide, and also why we should stand in lines for tickets, events, and food as a way of suicide prevention. I know, you're like, what? Standing in line? That's right. Stand in line for suicide prevention. But I want to cover this whole cross-country running and suicidality. I was reading an article. There have been a few articles about the rise of suicides in athletes, specifically college athletes. And they found that the highest rate of suicides were amongst cross-country runners. And I thought that was interesting. And then I started reading the article, and they said it was two things. One, the amount of injuries that cross-country runners have, which I never really thought about. Typically in the news, you hear about football players and injuries, but you don't really hear about the number of injuries that cross-country runners have from torn meniscus, ACL, MCL, stress fractures, sprained ankle, broken ankle, all these different, maybe they fall, bust their elbow, shoulder, hip, back, all the things that could be associated with long distance running. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. I would imagine you're doing marathons. I mean, they're running anywhere from 10 to 20 miles a day, and they've been doing it for a very long time, from childhood on up. And then the other thing that I didn't think about was the financial burden that a lot of cross-country runners feel, because, I played college football. And when I signed the contract to play college football, basically it was just assumed no matter what, they would pay for my 4 years of education. So if I had played the first 2 years and then I got injured and couldn't play, they would continue to fund me for the last couple years, right? And that was, they didn't have to. Every year your contract is up to renewal, but typically they would honor it in some kind of way. So I never really had this fear of losing my football scholarship, whereas cross-country runners, the margins are so thin. It's only a few people on the team. And so if you're not able to run, then you're going to lose your scholarship. They got to keep the team solid. They have to keep fresh runners in. And they can't afford to have a player or two not be able to run every single year. Where with football, you have 80 guys on a football team. And so they can kind of afford to keep you around for an extra year. And that indeed is what happened to me. As I was injured going into my last year, and they paid for my last year. I didn't even play, never stepped on a field. And so I'm very grateful for that. But I know that if I was a cross-country runner, I probably wouldn't have had that. They would have cut me. They would have been like, you're not going to be back in time. And the healing, that's just tough. That's the other part is like, as a football player, if I had an injury, I've played with a lot of injuries and had it masked because I'm playing with 10 other guys on the field. And they can kind of pick up the slack, or I can kind of make up for it. Where if you're a cross country runner, like, you got to be 100%, like, it's all you out there and you're kind of isolated. So that the pressure financially, one, two, you have the high risk of injury and physical strain that comes with that, and how long it takes to recover. And then three, you also have the isolation. It's such a individual sport, cross-country running, that requires long hours of solitary training. I live down here in San Diego, and I frequently see cross-country runners or long-distance runners running by themselves. They're running in the morning, afternoon, at night. They typically run in the morning and at night before the sun is too blazing. If I do see one running in the afternoon, I'm assuming that they're running at a time when their event would be. And so that would make sense. So, you know, closer to the, if their event is going to be at 2 p.m., then they're probably going to run at 2 just to get their body used to running at that time. But typically, these races are very early in the morning. I had a friend, he did a long distance, and I think it started at 6. And I was like, nope, I want to come support, buddy, but I'm not. That means I would have to get up at 4:30 to drive to the event and then parking at the, anyway. So you have the isolating and individuality of cross-country running, the physical strain and high risk of injury, just that repetitive motion. Usually we think of football being more violent because of the collisions, but running is just daily strain on the tendons and bones and you know, all those things. And then also you have body image and eating disorders, right? When we're looking at endurance sports like cross-country running, any body weight weightlifting or gymnastics, where you have to look, not only perform a certain way, you have to look a certain way, you have to eat a certain way. With football, you can kind of be gluttonous, right? To an extent, like I know a lot of football players at every level, they eat McDonald's, they get a Big Mac, double cheeseburger, milkshake, all those things, because we're going to burn it off and our performance isn't as strictly tied to our weight as a cross-country runner or a gymnast would be, which is why with gymnasts and cross-country runners, they're weighing them every day, especially gymnasts. But today we're just talking about cross-country runners. So you have this body image. You have this idea of like what your body should look like, how much you should weigh. And so you become very obsessive about the food you're putting in your body. And so in your head, your body size and your weight is linked to performance. I can't perform unless I look a certain way and I weigh a certain amount. And then that just contributes to a disordered eating pattern. Because even once cross-country running is done, you're probably going to, it's in your muscle tissues to eat a certain way, to look a certain way. And then if you start gaining weight because you're not running as much from the injury, that could really be a minefield of emotional chaos for you, right? And then I think the last thing is with cross-country runners, I don't think they get the mental health support that other sports get. I know that with football, we had a team psychologist, and I think that the runners just don't get that social support and that team support. Like when you have 80, I think it was like 80 guys on a football team, you're going to find your clusters, right? So when you perform well, the whole team is high-fiving you, celebrating you. Like there's just nothing better than celebrating with so many guys, where in cross-country running, it's what, 5, 10? I don't know, but it's a very small team. And I don't know if they celebrate each other the way that we did in football. But also, I don't know if they got the mental health support that we got. And not that, you know, when you have that many guys, not everybody can access it at the same rate. But, you know, I just think about everyone's talking about football. No one's talking about cross country, right? They don't get that shine. And I think also there's the idea that we live in a world where if you're skinny, you're healthy, right? You're skinny. What are you complaining about? You're fine, right? So there's just so many barriers, or I would say contributions to the mental health stability of someone who runs cross country. And I'm, you know, And there's, I'm sure there's a lot more to it. Like I said, I'm not a cross country runner, but just, I just want to expand on and destigmatize asking for help, two, recognizing that whatever your struggle is, you're not alone in that. And sometimes I think that if we're not getting that media attention, we can kind of feel like we're alone. If nobody's really talking about it, like if I'm a, like I'm a comedian, right? I do stand up also. And so when I talk about going to see a therapist, people go, yeah, you know, they understand. They go, yeah, you're a comic. You should go. But, you know, like if I was, you know, a cross-country runner or a Navy SEAL or someone who you would think was just mentally tough and said I was going to therapy, people might look at you oddly and weirdly, like, why are you going to therapy? Like, that seems odd. Like, you're the leader. You're a cross-country runner or whatever that is. So even when you go for help, even that can look strange to others depending on what your role is or your job or your status, right? So I want to go into the second part. So, you know, if you're a cross-country runner, basically get the help that you need. Know that you're not alone. If you need financial support, and I think the financial part is really the biggest part of it, is, you know, talk to people, talk to the school, talk to your coach. There's so many financial programs that allow you to still stay in school so you don't have to drop out. And I think that's the big fear of, like, if I drop out, then I've lost my connection, my support, my education, my purpose, and all those things that are related to being in college, right? So, you know, be a voice for yourself, be an advocate, and know that you're not alone, and reach out to other cross-country runners, you know? And, hey, here's what I'm going through. How did you cope with this? Be an advocate, but don't suffer in silence. Now, the second part that I wanted to talk about was standing in line to save your life, right? I know it sounds weird, but Michelle and I were out with some friends for dinner, and we're walking by this taco stand, and the line was like wrapped around a block. And I'm like, I don't understand. I've never stood in line. Like, maybe when I was younger, I'm 48. When I was younger, I would stand in line at Pink's Hot Dog. But even then, I didn't stand in line very long. Pink's Hot Dog is this place in L.A. where there's always a line. I don't know why they became so famous. It's a very small hot dog stand. And every time, no matter what time of day you drive by, you see a line. Like, there's never not a line for a Pink's Hot Dog, right? And so I went, but I made sure I went at a time when the line was typically shorter. And I got to be honest, it wasn't worth what I was like, I'm so glad I didn't wait hours in line in the beaming sun. That would have been ridiculous. But we have this thing where it's so fascinating, right? Where if I'm in line at the grocery store and there's one person in front of me that's taking too long, I go bananas. In my head, I have to use all of my sensory tricks of zooming out, being grateful for where I am, noticing five red things, noticing three things that I hear, like tapping into my senses, one thing that I taste, right? All these things to kind of ground me, besides scrolling on my phone. I'm trying not to scroll on my phone. But what I'm saying is it's so strange that one person in line at the grocery store taking a little longer than I expect, I can just feel my cortisol levels rise. Where if I'm standing in line for food, right, like at a food truck, and it's one of those cool, I remember like was it Koji Beef? It was like these Korean beef tacos. People were lined up for hours to get these tacos, right? Where you're standing in line like that. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm happy. Like, it's a party. It's a celebration. I could stand in that line for days. You see it with Black Friday, right? Where people camp out the night before, sometimes two nights before. I don't know if it's as big as it used to be because of Amazon and shipping and the online deals, but you know, concert tickets. When I was growing up, people would show up early for concert tickets. The iPhone used to be like that, where you know, people would they used to televise the release of a new iPhone when it was a new album drop or a shoot. I see, actually, you know, living in LA and San Diego, I still see a line when a new shoe is about to drop, and then you got these young kids who are waiting. But why do we do this? If you've been following the podcast for a while, you know, for me, when I'm coaching clients, I'm listening for pain, you know, how much pain they're in or how much pressure they experience. I'm listening for their purpose, like, what do they find meaning in? Have they lost meaning? And then where do they want to prosper? Like, what are they looking forward to? What do they want to grow, create, architect? How can we build a life worth living? So I'm listening for pain, purpose, and prosperity, right? And I realize that standing in line for shoes, a phone, concert tickets, all of those things give us, they help alleviate pain, they give us a sense of purpose, and they fuel our prosperity in terms of helping us build a life that excitement that we want to have, right? And so, and I know that sounds strange, but think about the there's some construction happening. I'm going to have to be quick with this. But and I apologize, we're having some construction done on our house, so bear with me for a few minutes. But think about the anticipation and excitement that comes with the product and the experience. It's like the longer you wait, the bigger the anticipation, the more you get excited, the salivation of your mouth. Just even thinking about going to stand in line kind of fuels you, gives you your pupils dilate. You might not even be able to sleep the night before knowing that you're going to camp out for some tickets or stand in a long line to get these tacos. You know, maybe you watched a Netflix series on some restaurant and, you know, you're like, oh, I got to go there. And then you get there and it's a long line for the tacos. So you have that excitement, that anticipation, and that gives you purpose. You're like, I'm going to go do this. And it might take me a couple hours, but I've decided, and you put it in your calendar, and maybe you bring a friend with you. And so you get that sense of purpose. You have a clear goal, a clear mission. It's a tangible task, something that we can accomplish. It's psychologically rewarding. It's just clicking all these boxes. And then if you're with a friend, or even if you're not with a friend, even if you go alone by yourself, you're still in line with like-minded people, people who are valuing and care about the same thing that you care about. So you right off the bat have something that you all can talk about that gives you that social connection. Now you have a conversation about the food. Where did you hear about it? What feature, if it's for the phone, what feature of the iPhone are you excited the most about? And then it becomes a shared experience with these people that, because if you're standing in line with them for a while, you're going to develop a bond, a connection. You're going to be friends. You're going to swap phone numbers, IG information, and it's going to be a friendship that continues, because then you're going to find out probably about other groups and other people who are equally excited. It's like if you go to a book signing, right? You go to a book signing, people who love this author, and then you find out that there's a book club, and then you can join that book club. You know, it just becomes this, and now you're building a life. Now we have the prosperity, right, where you're having conversations with people who you typically wouldn't talk to, and then you start learning about other aspects of life and the world. And, you know, if you're struggling with something, they might have a path forward for you, whether it's physical pain or financial strain, whatever it is. They might have that pathway for you. And then it has some symbolic value. Once you get that thing, every time you see your new iPhone or your shoes, you're going to remember, it's going to cue up those beautiful memories of standing in line. Now, when I say beautiful memories, that's with the hope that, like, you know, it doesn't torrentially downpour on you, which even if that happens, that becomes part of the story. That becomes part of the lore, the myth, the struggle, the challenge. Like, I waited in line for 10 hours and it rained and then it snowed and then it hailed. Like, it just becomes this ridiculous story. And then the car drove by and splashed us. And then they ran out of the product and we had to wait, and, you know, whatever it is. like I said, you're going to hear some banging in the background. And so once we get that project, that product, we have a sense of achievement. Like, I did that. Like, I waited. And you don't have to just, you got the conversation, but you could take a book with you. You can take notes. Because this also gives you a chance to think about your life, right? And in standing there and connecting with people, it becomes a distraction from pain and discomfort, right? Because now you're not really thinking so much about the stressors and other areas of your life. You're focusing more on the obtaining of the desired goal, and it takes attention away from the negative emotions and experiences, providing a psychological escape. So I hope that I've encouraged you to stand in line for a new product, for concert tickets, food, go to a theme park, Black Friday sales, a book release. There's so many things that you can stand in line for that can alleviate your pain, give you a sense of purpose, and help you feel like you're prospering and building a life worth living. If you found any value in today's episode, I ask that you take 7 seconds and share this with one other person. And ask them, you know, when you share the link, be like, hey, what's that one thing that you want to stand in line for, or that concert you want to go to, or that book release? Get alerts, put that on your phone as a way of finding out what's going on. You know, I'm on Spotify a lot, and I know Spotify does a good job of, if there's a concert in town or a book release, they'll notify me of that. So sign up for those different notifications of when there are events taking place. Even if you can't afford it, it's just nice to know that there are things that you could potentially go to. That's what it's about. It's not like going to every single one of them, but it's just a reminder that there are other alternatives to just scrolling on our phone and sitting in front of Netflix all day, right? And not that there's anything wrong with that, because I love to scroll and I love the Netflix, but I also love to do other things. So thank you for tuning in. Remember, this podcast is not a substitute for you calling the 988 or any of the other 800 numbers. You can chat, talk, text. You can always go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. Let's get to tomorrow together.